Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.
There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free, and things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Well, good evening and happy Super Bowl Sunday. How you doing, Tim?
I'm losing my you-know-what. That's what I'm doing.
You're losing your you-know-what.
Well, if it's Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, you've already lost? Is that what you're saying?
Probably, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. We are pre-recording this show, just so you know. We won't be able to take any calls from the audience tonight or emails. It is Super Bowl Sunday, and we're out of town. I'm out in Vegas and enjoying the Super Bowl with my dad. Yay! So I'm out here. And then next weekend, we also have a brand new show for you, but it will also be pre-recorded. And that show is we're going to be out in Virginia City, or I'm sorry, out at Goldfield, Nevada, with the guys from the Ghost Adventures crew, checking out the very haunted Goldfield Hotel. Mm-hmm. And once we're done doing that investigation, Tim, we got to have some kind of excitement. I think we're going to have the guys on the air, and we'll try to... We'll interview him about the stuff that we have happen at the Goldfield.
I contend I'm a paranormal jinx.
You think it's you? You think nothing's going to happen? Me. Well, how about this? I think what we should do is, since that basement is what's so crazy haunted, mm-hmm. I mean, it like freaked out Chris Fleming. It's freaked out the guys from Ghost Adventures. Mm-hmm. I think we should test the jinx, and we should stick you alone in the basement for about a half an hour. Do you think?
Why you got to go with the alone card on this one?
Because, dude, if you're a jinx, then nothing should happen. You should be perfectly fine.
You're not supposed to go alone into any particular haunted place.
Oh, suddenly the skeptic becomes the partial believer.
I'm just saying.
I know. I'm with
following
you.
The basic
how about
rules.
You and me? We'll go down there.
Okay.
We'll get a video camera. I'll get a nice video camera with night shot, and we'll try to see what we can collect.
I'll bring Cheetos.
Cheetos. Is that what you do to bribe the ghost out?
Well,
Reese's
actually,
pieces for E.T. and Cheetos for spirits of anger in the basement of the Goldfield.
What you do is you finish your Cheetos, and then you spread the dust on the floor and see if they put footprints down.
Good thinking.
Huh?
Well, with that kind of mentality, Tim, we're bound to catch some kind of paranormal activity. We want to get into our guest for this evening. Our guest is Concetta Bertoldi, and she's a highly respected medium. She has over 3,000 clients. She serves as a consultant to members of the royal family, A-list celebrities, and she was a local medium for the cast members of HBO series The Sopranos. She works with producers, politicians, and so on. Just to get in touch with her, Tim, to get a reading, she has a 2-year waiting list.
That's insane.
2-year waiting list. She was born out in Newark in the early 1950s. She's communicated with the other side since childhood. And initially, she says that her imaginary playmates and an overactive imagination were blamed for all of her abilities and what she was able to see. She's got a book out right now called Do Dead People Watch You Shower?
Ah.
So when I saw the title of that, automatically I knew we had to have this lady on our show because it seemed like the sense of humor was going to fit in perfectly with us, as she just heard by you using Cheeto dust to try to capture a ghost, proof of ghosts. The book is called Do Dead People Watch You Shower? And Other Questions You've Always Been Dying to Ask a Medium. And she answers some poignant questions about the fate and happiness of loved ones who crossed over to the other side, as well as answering the naughtier and more provocative questions we really want a psychic medium to answer once we begin to believe. So let's welcome her to the show right now. Good evening, Ms. Bertoldi. How are you?
Hi, Dave. How are you? And thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's our pleasure. As I, you know, we like to have a little bit of a light sense of humor on the show, and when I can see somebody that doesn't take themselves so seriously and they're able to... you know, do their job and be serious about it, but also have some fun. I definitely knew we wanted to have you on the show and have you be a part of this. And for those of you listening, you can check out our website at darknessradio.com. Click on the show tab. You'll see a picture of Conchetta. You can click that. It'll take you directly to her site. You can click the picture of the book to order your copy. And then we also put up a link to her MySpace page so that you can get in touch with her any one of three different ways or to learn more about her, I should say, through three different venues. So that is up. Now, you've got, is this book out currently in the stores right now?
Yes, it is, but I would like to make one correction because if anybody calls, we are booked for the next 3 years.
The next three years? Wow.
Yeah, it's a three-year wait, unfortunately. I feel bad, but that's what it is, and I just don't want anybody to be disappointed when they if they call and want to make any kind of an appointment with me. Yes, we are on the market. We're in Barnes & Noble, Borders, everywhere, so I'm very proud to say that we're nationwide.
Very cool. Now, are you out still in the New York area?
Am I what, dear?
Are you still based in the New York area, then?
I am in New Jersey, actually.
Out in New Jersey. Okay, great. You know, we're going to be doing a couple of events this year and out east, so hopefully maybe at some point we can get together and say hi and
I would love
get
to
a chance
that.
To talk.
That would be great.
Now, let's talk about this. I know that you said when you were a child, that's when you used to have imaginary playmates, and that's, you know, what people blamed, you know, your overactive imagination on.
Right.
And,
right.
Of course, you know the truth that they weren't just imaginary. You were dealing with spirits. Now, did you also have some imaginary friends that you mixed into the mix as well that made it more confusing for the adults?
I don't think they were ever imaginary. I've always been able to hear dead people. So, you know, since I can remember remembering, I've had friends that were not visible or available to the people who were around me. So they weren't really imaginary. They were always souls who were protecting, guiding, you know, teaching. They've had a great role in my life. I feel very, very lucky to be able to tell you that they've walked me through some very hard times and walked me through some very wonderful times.
What is, now you're clairaudient, is that the way it works for you?
Well, clairsentience is what it really is. And,
okay.
Yeah, it just...
Well, I noticed that I mentioned in your bio that you hear them, and you just mentioned that you hear them, but I thought clairsentient means you can see, hear, touch, taste, you get
that's
the whole
sense. That's right, but
sense.
I think it's the whole thing, actually.
Okay.
You know, it's always different. It's never the same. So you have to keep in mind that really what it just simply means is that it's extra sensing. Mm-hmm. So if you have the sense of seeing, hearing, all those things, it's just extra. So you can go beyond what the normal is. If I were to say, yes, you hear me right now, but try to imagine if you went beyond that and you hear extra sensing of hearing. So maybe someone might be around you talking, and I can hear not only you talk, but the people who are talking around you.
Okay, well, that brings up a good point. Now, let me ask you about this. We all have that time when we hear that voice in the back of our head chattering away at us. You know, I've got negative talk. That's part of the... I'm trying to learn to meditate so I can close down the inner demons, I guess I have, you know, you can't do that, don't touch that, don't talk to her, don't do this, you know, all that chatter going on. But there are sometimes when there's a very clear voice that'll come through and say, don't do that, or move over there, or get out of the way, or
you would refer
over.
To it as your conscience, basically, but here's what you really want to realize, is that every single one of us has this ability, and that's why we've developed terms like, oh gosh, it was such a coincidence, listen what happened,
right.
Or wow, I had a gut feeling about that, but one of my favorites is this one, and you're referring to it, is something just told me not to do that.
Right.
Well, that something is someone. So we have to realize we haven't been taught really, it hasn't been acceptable, if you will. So there are no classrooms, and as children, we're not brought up to be encouraged to believe this. And as a result, it's been not acceptable. So as we get older, we push it aside, and we become much more comfortable with using phrases such as, I had a gut feeling, something just told me, what a coincidence, because these are what we're comfortable saying.
Well,
but you must realize it's more than that.
Well, that's what I'm curious about, is how do we know, how do I differentiate between what my conscience is telling me and what maybe a spirit? Because I think there have been times when I've you know, people I'm sure in the chat room are laughing right now saying, oh, great, Dave's hearing voices. But I mean, I'm pretty sure that there are times that I've heard an extra voice that wasn't just my psyche or my id or my, you know, ego or anything kicking in telling me what to do. I feel that it was kind of a divine voice, or, you know, a paranormal voice, if you will. Time. How do we learn to differentiate between it's not my conscience and it's somebody else giving me this information?
Well, first, let me say the people in your chat room are probably not laughing. I'm sure they are identifying. And
you don't know the people in our chat room.
Well, my hope is that they're identifying with you. But here's what I want you to know is that you are having what every person has an experience of experiencing. It's just a you have, remember too, you have the free will that God gave you. So what that means is that every one of us is born to have free will. That's the gift of God. So we have a choice to make. So if you have a little voice that says to you, listen, you know, don't take that, doesn't belong to you, your free will is going to make the decision. You're being guided, yes, you're being helped and protected, and there's many guardian angels that are more than willing to tell you, you know, this would be best or that would be the right road, but ultimately you will be the one who makes the choice. And that's the beautiful thing about our life here on Earth, because we're here to learn these lessons. And these lessons are what are shaping us spiritually.
So at what age did you realize, I mean, where it was a conscious realization that you were seeing dead people and dealing with dead people, and it wasn't just commonplace? Meaning, you know, as a kid, we just accept what we see and what we, you know, what's there, and it's just there. And we don't know that we're not supposed to see this or we're not supposed to be experiencing this. But at what age did you realize, hey, not everybody else is doing this? Not everybody else can see and hear what I'm seeing and hearing.
Dave, I was really lucky in this sense because my father was an amazing, beautiful man. And his father had the same ability. So he knew about this. He didn't have the ability himself, but his father did, so he knew a lot about it. He was able to protect me or encourage me, if you will, tell me it was acceptable. So that in itself was very beneficial to me as a young girl, because even though the world outside was very judgmental or frightened or narrow-minded, whatever you want to say, my father was loving and protective and saying, don't you worry, it's going to be okay, and you're safe, and it's going to protect you. And he always told me how to protect myself and what to do in terms of how to use it. So what that comes down to is this. I believe in God. God is somebody I ask to protect me at all times, and I have always got that protection in mind and saying, in the name of God, protect me. So anybody who talks to me from the other side is in the light of God. Anybody who's not in the light of God is not welcome to talk to me. So I've been taught from an early age how to understand that as well.
Well, let me ask you this, and we've asked it of some of the other mediums and psychics that we've had on our show, and you bring up an interesting point because you're talking about coming from a place of God and speaking and only allowing the good to come through, correct? So you're shielding yourself so, you know, lower-level entities, and not
That's
even
correct.
Necessarily demonic, but the lower-level vibrational, dirty, you know,
right.
spirits that are still out there don't have access to you.
That's correct, yes.
What is your take on the fact, you know, from a religious standpoint, people stand back and quote the Bible saying that, you know, no one is supposed to speak to the dead. Necromancing and contact with the dead is wrong according to the Bible. How do we rectify that so that people don't feel like they're sinning against their religion by talking to people like you?
Oh, boy, you're getting me on a soapbox I really don't want to get on, but I have to tell you, first and foremost, because this gets me into trouble every time, but I've never been able to stay within the box, here's what I say. Number one, I believe there is one God for all people, and I believe that God is very loving and very beautiful.
Right.
And I think that we better start to learn to love each other and get along with each other despite our differences. Yes, I think God created all these different religions because we're here to learn from each other and bring to the table the beauty of each one. Because let me just say this, when we die, do you really believe that on the other side in heaven there's going to be 17 desks that say, okay, you're a Jew, you're over there, you're a Christian, you're over here, you're a Buddhist, where's the Buddhist, we'll find the desk for you? It just doesn't work that ugly. God is very loving. We're all welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people are finally getting to a point because there's so much corruption on this side of the veil. I mean, let's face it, our politicians, our police, our classrooms aren't safe, priests are molesting little boys. I mean, there's just so much ugly stuff that's going on. People are getting fed up. And I think what they're doing is starting to finally open up their mind and say, I want to make a decision for myself. I don't want to be steered around like a sheep. I'm not in a herd. I am a person, an individual, and I'm intelligent. I want to make up my own mind. And I think that they're starting to realize that there is some things that they would like to disagree with. And if you're a decent human being and a good person, you should have the right to make your own choice, right?
Well, oh, definitely.
That's, I get a little crazy about that subject.
No, that's fine. But I mean, coming from, it sounds like you have a religious background and a religious standing. And
well,
I do
I'm raised Catholic.
Okay.
And
I'm sorry to hear that. Have you gotten over it yet?
Yes, I have. I just believe in God. But here's the thing. You must realize that all you have to do is see a movie like The Magdalene Sisters, and you can see how crazy some, you know, people get. And religious fanatics frighten me. They just frighten me. And I don't practice... I'm not a practicing Catholic. I am a practicing spiritual woman who believes in God and doing the right thing and being fair to mankind. And just, as I said, do unto others the way I would want people to do to me, you know, and I just believe that. It's simple. It's so simple. We walk right by it.
Do you ever question that, what if I'm not getting this information from a good source? I mean, we can shield ourselves all we want. Again, that's just intent in our own visualization of what we're doing to protect ourselves. That may not be just like, you know, that maybe there is no Buddha. There is no, I'm trying to think of Ra. There is no other gods, but people believe in them. So just because you believe you're protecting yourself and you're only asking for the light to come through, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're actually able to shield yourself. How do you know that you're not getting this from a darker source?
Well, that's an excellent question, Dave. I will tell you, for the past 8 years, I've been interviewed, and very intensely interviewed in the last year or so since this book was coming out and has come out now. And that's one of the best questions. I really have to applaud you on that.
Thank you.
How do I know? It's really simple. I hear them. It's simple. They would tell me. And you have to only see me work, and you have to see the millions of people. You said I have 3,000 clients?
Right.
That's not true. I've met with millions of people. And let me just tell you that you only have to see the results and the reactions, the peace, the calmness, the comfort. And what is it?
Let me just say this.
How could that be bad, Dave, when people are walking away from me saying, oh, my God, I feel peace for the first time?
Mm-hmm.
I hear this all the time. Conchetta, I haven't slept in 4 years. Last night was the first night I slept in 4 years. Conchetta, you don't understand. My life has changed for the first time. I can walk out of my house and be happy again and feel peace and comfort. How could that be anything but positive and beautiful and loving? How could that be in any way negative?
Oh, I totally agree with
people.
You on that. Right.
You have to see the results to understand. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that would judge me, and this is one of the reasons I never wanted to go public, because I'm like afraid of people who are fanatics, because they're the first ones to do the wrong thing.
Right.
But I have to tell you, like I said, I have to stand up. I have to stand up and be brave, and that's what I'm trying to do. Because I really do believe, ultimately, when all is said and done, that me being public, if it changes one person to know that there's truth in this and that their life can be happier and they can live more peacefully, then I at least made a difference, and that's what I'm trying to do.
I totally agree with you on that. And, you know, we've had the experience. We've worked with some mediums at events, and I've watched. And, you know, I may not always believe in the ability that they're showing. I think a lot of the people out there doing this are really good at reading people's personalities and maybe giving them really sage advice under the disguise that it's grandpa giving the advice.
Right.
And, you know, I've had people say, well, this is, you know, a sham. But like you said, the one thing that I've noticed, you know, I've gone to counselors gone in for help and, you know, to try to get over idea or problems and demons that I've had in my past. And the fact is, you know, I've spent thousands of dollars on counselors and sessions.
Therapist.
That I walk away feeling more angry when I leave and feel less in touch with what I'm able to do.
Exactly.
And then I've spoken to, you know, Michael and Marty Perry out of California, our mediums, and they did a very intense reading for me about something that I'd felt horrible guilt over for the last 12 years. And in one session, we're able to relieve 90% of that guilt that I've never been able to get rid of seeking help from a regular traditional counselor. So I firmly believe that you're right and that, you know, that is it. I just am always curious how each medium deals with that side of things coming from, well, the religious says. And, you know, I think you brought up a great point that religion likes to stand on its soapbox and say, well, the Bible says that there should be no necromancing. Well, the Bible, you know, also says that priests shouldn't be molesting little boys.
Right.
And we're protecting those priests, and we're just moving them to a different city. So
exactly.
I do think that, you know, there is definitely a double-edged sword in religion and what we do. And again, I think the Bible's open for interpretation that, you know, talking about necromancing and things like that, you know, maybe by sitting there and using a Ouija board or trying to communicate with the spirits yourself instead of seeking somebody that has a gift, might be opening up a potential for danger for yourself, and maybe that's what the warning is about, is be right. careful where you go and who you seek help from, as opposed to all mediums are bad. Because it's got to be a gift, right? I mean, Britney Spears was born with the ability to sing. Michael Jordan right. was born with the ability to be right. an excellent athlete. You were born with the ability to give answers and help people feel better and heal on this side.
Uh-huh. That's absolutely right. And I want to be the first to tell you, though, that I do know there are a lot of charlatans out there mm-hmm. and a lot of would-be people that would take advantage of. I just really get very upset when I know that that is out there, because it gives people who have legitimate abilities a bad name. But I think if you're intelligent and if you really take a real look at my body of work mm-hmm. and see, you can tell for yourself that it's true, and I stand by it. Because
do you find people getting addicted to what you do? Can they, yes, do you get people that want to know, you know, every week they want to talk to you about it?
And of course, but that's where my job is to say that can't happen, and I can't allow that. I am booked for the next 3 years, so no one can really see me too often anyway.
Right.
But here's the point. You know, I always tell people, when people ask me, how soon do you recommend I come back? They ask me this, and I mm-hmm. say, at least a year, if not more. Because you don't want to look at this. It's not supposed to be a thing that I would want anybody to get addicted to. I want them to get comfort from a message. To me, I encourage people to realize, when you hear this message, look at it like it were a postcard. The postcard was sent to you to just confirm or validate that these people that you have loved and lost are somewhere happy, beautiful, alive and well, and celebrating every day of your life that you're living here on this side of the veil until we meet again. And that is really what I feel is what they should do with this information.
That's great.
You know?
We're going to take
they're going to love you, and they'll sure. love you forever.
We got to take our first break here, Conchetta. Hang on with us. Everybody out there okay. listening, stick with us. We're going to be right back. You're listening to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show.
It will keep you on the edge of your seat.
I must have drank me about 15 Dr. Peppers.
I got to pay.
Just don't get any on the floor. Hurry back. There is more to come from the Darkness on the Edge of Town. When Dave was a young boy, he once awoke to find himself staring directly into the eyes of a shadow person. Turns out it was just his life-size cardboard cutout of Donny Osmond.
Go away, little girl. Go away, little girl.
Welcome back to the Darkness on the Edge of Town.
And welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show, here with you every Sunday night from 10 to midnight. Again, if you can't listen live, make sure to check out our archives. You can go to darknessradio.com, click on the listen button. We archive all of our shows for the last 2 years. You can also go to planetparanormal.com, click on our tab, and you'll be able to subscribe to the podcast feed so that you never miss an episode. It'll always alert you to the fact that there's a new show up, and you can download it at your leisure. Take it into your iPod or burn it onto discs. Share it with your friends. Let everybody know about Darkness on the Edge of Town. We're back in our show, and our show guest this evening is Conchetta Bertoldi. She is a very highly respected medium. She's out of New Jersey, and we're talking to her about her new book, Do Dead People Watch You Shower? So do they?
Yes, they do, my darling.
Oh,
but
yes!
keep so in sad. Mind, though, sweetie, it's not like a Peeping Tom.
Are they judging me? Are they judging me?
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, people ask this. The reason I titled the book that was I took a very long time of accumulation of favoritely asked questions by my clients.
Mm-hmm.
And the question had to be asked at least twice, but those were the among the top five were, do they see us in the bedroom? Do they see us in the shower? Do they see us in the bathroom? I found that so funny that I said, you know what? People are so worried about this. I better title the book. But, you know, the funny thing is they don't mind that God is watching them. They just don't want their grandmother to watch them.
Well, come on. It's kind of creepy. We already just accept the fact that God watches everything.
Right.
We have nothing to do with that. But to know that grandma's maybe watching us get on with the Posturpedia polka, you know, that gets to be a little freaky.
Exactly.
Now, is it usually our friends and relatives that are there watching us, or are they just other ghosts that are coming in to check out
well,
your goods?
You know, it's funny. You're saying ghosts, and that's what they are, I'm sure, but
mm-hmm.
it's souls and spirits, and
sure.
realizing that this is much deeper than what we're talking about. Keep in mind that we have lived many lifetimes. I mean, of course, I believe in reincarnation, and we are connected to everyone that we have ever loved and lost, and that means here we're connected to everyone we've ever loved and lost. But with my belief, the way it goes for me is that we came here to this side, And there are other souls that stayed behind to guide us this time, to help us learn lessons we were coming here to learn. Mm-hmm. So there are souls there that we don't even realize while we're here that are very much guardian angels to us there. And when we leave and go back to the light, there is what I refer to as a knowing. It's something that is all-knowing that comes to us. We have amnesia while we're here. And when we walk into the light, the knowing comes to us. That means that we will recognize and remember and know all of those who have guided us on the other side, plus all of those who we have loved and lost.
Oh, great. So did you hear that, Tim?
So, celebration.
So when we die and we go over to the light, we'll know which spirits were watching us touch ourselves in the shower.
Nice.
That is so bad. That's embarrassing.
Are they going to give me compliments?
I can't show up. I'm going to, like, if I could have some, you know, so maybe you could show up before me, Tim, and just get me, like, a cloak and a pair of dark sunglasses and escort me through the light quickly.
But if I show up before you, does that mean that I have to watch you in the shower?
Well, is that any different than in life?
No, not really.
Okay,
no.
Good.
Although this time I can't scrub your back. So.
Well, that's true. So you do have the spirits in there that are watching you. I mean, well, don't they give you some respect, Conchetta? I mean,
well, darling, you keep in mind that they don't have that. They have the understanding of the flesh. They remember the flesh, but they don't care about the flesh. It's not the same. They know that we're here. This is not an easy place to be. And let's remember that it's a difficult position to be in, right. Although it's a wonderful, glorious thing to be in the flesh. But you have to realize it has a lot of trouble that comes with it as well, a lot of downside things that come with it as well.
You know, this is going to totally screw me up again in the bedroom and in the shower alone. I'm going to be wearing, like, a knapsack in the shower. Because, you know, when I was a kid, Tim, you know, our pastor gave us a lecture about masturbation, and he said that, remember, at any time, Jesus could come back, and do you want to be caught doing that when he comes back? And that screwed my mind up for decades. Decades.
God.
And now I got to worry about Grandma.
You know? Well, can I just say one thing, then? First of all, you have to realize...
Oh, Jesus. I had an itch. That's all? No, I wasn't. Come on.
I'm just scratching vigorously.
Yes.
Let me, please, I would like to respond. Honey,
definitely.
Keep in mind that we are all human beings, and we all come with, you know, these things. Okay, so without going into that much more, but
right.
Let me just say one thing. Do you think it might be a little bit nice if everybody thought that somebody was at the very least, watching them so that they had their best behavior all the time? I mean, I don't want to get too carried away with this because I don't think anybody should walk around worrying about this 24/7. But I think that if we all had a little bit of a more of an idea that our actions were being at least watched to the sense that they want us to do the right thing, don't you think it would be a nicer place to live?
I agree. You make an excellent point. Tim, that means we got to start changing our ways real quick. So what do, Conchetta, when they're doing this, is there sex in the afterlife? That's a question we always get from people.
No, they want to know. I don't think there is, dear, because they're not in the physical body, honey. They're in the energy form. So it's not something that they would engage in. No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's not, they don't need that exchange of
vitality? No, because the love is so divine. They're in an existence of love that's so pure.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. They don't have to have what flesh would have to have to feel
right.
Love.
You know, that's funny that you'd bring that up. I had an event when I was, it was 18 years ago now. My grandfather passed away, and I do not deal well with death. And when he passed away, about a month into it, he came in a visitation dream.
Uh-huh.
And he said, you know, let's just go ahead and answer some questions for you right now and get some stuff handled. What are you so concerned about? And, we kind of asked some of the questions. And then the funny questions like you get, you know, and now in retrospect, I think these are just stupid questions to have asked, but my grandfather laughed quite a bit. I said, so when you died, did Grandma come meet you? He said, oh, yeah, my brothers, my sisters, my parents, and Grandma were here to meet me. And I said, well, you know, what's going to happen when your second wife dies? And he looked at me and he said, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, what are you going to do then? You'll have two wives up there. And he just started roaring with laughter. And he goes, well, we'll all be here to meet her. And I go, well, who are you going to live with? And he started laughing again. And he said, up here, love is universal. There isn't the kind of love that there is on earth. You don't love somebody this way and, oh, my God, this is the one true love for me. Here, it's just a universal love. We'll all be here to meet her and welcome her in and do this. So it's very validating what you just said, that's, you know, an interesting little...
Absolutely. I want to bring it up. Suzanne Pleshette, she just died.
Right.
She had she was in love, and she had two husbands. I think it was two. But anyway, she loved them both because one died, and she married a second time. The one who died before knows that she was here to live, and it wasn't going to be easy for her to live a life without him. She would never stop loving him, and neither would he ever stop loving her. But do you think that he would want her to be here on this earth miserable, knowing that she was going to face the rest of her life, especially getting ill herself alone? Or do you think that he would be on the other side saying, I would love you to be loved again and have someone love you? And so she married a second time, and that this man was here when she got ill, and he died, unfortunately, before her. But
right, Tom Poston, right?
Exactly. Now they're all on that side. Now, mm-hmm. Do you think that when she got there, her first husband said to her, thanks a lot, you know, you married somebody else when I died? No, that's not the way it works. On the other side, love is more divine than we can comprehend here on this side, and certainly more forgiving. But it's all about love. So that person who died first said, I love you so much. I don't want you to be lonely. I don't want you to be miserable. I don't want you to be sick and have nobody here to hold your hand.
Right.
I would only want you to know that what I want for you is out of love for you to be with somebody that might make you feel comfort again.
Sure.
On the other side, it's all based on love. They're all loving each other on that side. They're grateful to one another.
Very cool. Now, what can we tell people that are, you know, that are having concerns right now with spirits? Now, from your viewpoint, when we die, are there earthbound spirits? Are there ghosts that just walk the earth for eternity trapped here? Or do we all go on and we just have the free will to come back and forth? And if we reincarnate, how can we also haunt if we're already reborn?
Okay. Well, again, I always love saying what I'm about to tell you right now, and that is this. I don't have all the answers. And I openly admit that, because I could never have all the answers. I'm not God, and I'm, you know,
sure.
Certainly if I have a lot of understanding, a lot more understanding than average people, and I'm appreciative for that, but I don't have all the answers. But you mentioned so many things right there, there's hard for me to pick one that I could tell you that I've experienced this and that and I have an understanding. But I do want to say that everything is individual and different. So you might find, for instance, there's a soul that is always showing up in some place, like of history, that someone say, you know, we always see this person, they're always standing there in their period clothes, you know, and what does
right.
that mean? Okay, well, I don't know what that person was or what they did here, and I don't know what when they were in the flesh, what they went through, what their energy experienced. So that might have some connection to why that soul is still there or being seen or so strong, their energy is so strong. I'm sure there's a reason for it. I just don't have all the answers because that's a separate case, an individual thing. And for me to make a blanket statement is unfair because they're all different and unique.
Okay, but so you're saying that there is a case for each one of those statements and that there are some spirits that are just trapped here? There are some spirits that
I believe there are,
have
Dave,
the ability to go back and forth?
Yes.
Do you know...
Go ahead.
Do you know if we do reincarnate, is there a time once we pass away, how long are we here for before, or how long are we in heaven or wherever we go before we're allowed to reincarnate?
Well, again, Dave, I have to compliment you on your questions. I think you really, really, really have thought this out.
Thank you.
And I give you a lot of credit. But yes, that's a beautiful question. And here's the answer, and I've heard this from them, so I feel comfortable giving it to you. I have been told that everyone we've ever loved and lost on this side in the life that we are living now, that
mm-hmm.
means everybody you've ever loved and lost, the promise of God is that we are all together again in the light of God. So everyone you've ever loved and lost, even if you live to be 150 years, will be there and will bring you into the light. They will be there on the celebration day of your return. Now, the reason that I really believe that is because, and I know that because they've told me that, but I also, you have to keep in mind, time is not time for them. We judge days by a 24-hour day clock here. There is no 24-hour day clock there. So it's not the same. So you have to realize that time is not the same in the existence of the light where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But they do assure me, like my father passed away. My brother passed away in 1991. My father passed away in 2001. I really never realized the importance of how important that was when people would ask me that question until I lost somebody I loved. And I needed to know that I was going to see them again and that they didn't reincarnate before I got back. And that is when I fully understood that, no, we'll be together again. It's the promise of God that we're all together again. Okay. So we see everyone we've ever loved. God is very divine and very beautiful and very generous and obviously knows how important that would be to us.
So have you ever run into the fact where you're doing a reading for somebody, say, James Gandolfini from The Sopranos, right? Mm-hmm. You're communicating with his mom, who has crossed over, but that soul has already reincarnated. When you're tapping into that, does the soul still have memory, but when it's in the body, it's got that amnesia block going on? So maybe Tim doesn't realize he's James Gandolfini's mom, but you're still able to communicate with that part of his soul that does remember.
Well, I'm not quite sure I understand what you just said, but I think I do.
I'm not sure I know what I said either.
Yeah, I think it's completely what I didn't. In other words, that's not what I just said. James Gandolfini's. Now, I don't even want to refer to him because that's not fair.
I was throwing out a name overall.
Yeah,
right.
Let's say my father. It's definitely much more fair.
Okay.
My father passed away, so now you might say Tim is my father reincarnated.
Right.
No, that's not the case. I say again. Anyone I've ever loved and lost will not be reincarnated. They will be in the light when I get back to the light.
Okay.
And they will be there to greet me when I come home.
All right, so you believe that in that time then, they will be a part of heaven or...
Yes. They're one with God, right?
Sure.
When we're here, we're a piece of God. We are living here as a piece of God. When we die, we become one with God. And I believe that that's what my father is right now, in the light and energy, and he is certainly aware of everything I'm doing, everywhere I go, everything I need, want, and love, and I think he's a part of it.
Tim, you have a question?
So how many generations do you have to go back in order to start reincarnating then? Is there a set amount?
Keep in mind, I say everyone you've ever loved and lost.
Okay.
So if I didn't know my great-grandfather and...
Right, you didn't know him here.
Right.
You knew him there.
Okay.
So I don't know exactly how this works because I've understood that they tell me that we come back in groups. So that tells me that your great-grandfather, you could have known, say, for instance, you know, maybe 200-300 years ago. I don't know. But I will tell you this. If your great-grandfather was somebody you knew, say, 300 years ago,
right,
and he's now here reincarnated among you, when you walk into the light, that's, again, another part of the knowing that you will know. It is something you will, again, know. You walk into the light, and understanding all things will be made to you.
All right.
So you'll know the great-grandfather. Not that he'll be there. He could be here. Maybe he could be here, a very good friend of yours, or a grandson of yours, or who knows what. But the fact is, you'll know, and you'll be a part now of the team, of the guardians, and of the spirit world who protects those on this side.
All right, very cool. Mm-hmm. Well, we have to take our second break here. When we come back, we'll have a couple more questions for you. And you're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town. Our guest this evening is Concetta Bertoldi, and we'll be back with more right after this.
Are UFOs real? Does Bigfoot exist? Was Emily Rose really possessed? Who is the next American Idol?
She bangs! She bangs! Oh, baby, but she moves! She moves!
Thank
I'm
you.
Wasted by the way
Thank
she...
you.
We try to answer these questions and more each week on The Darkness on the Edge of Town. You hear footsteps and things bumping and banging in the middle of the night. Could it be paranormal activity? Or is it just Dave and Tim raiding your fridge?
Beer.
Strange things happen in the darkness on the edge of town.
And welcome back to the show. You're listening to Darkness on the Edge of Town, paranormal radio show. If you'd like to reach Concetta Bertoldi's website, you can check her out at concettabertoldi.com. That'll take you directly to her website, and you can check it out, surf it there, get some information. You can also click on the link at our site at darknessradio.com, click on the show tab, and we will keep the picture and links up for about a week, so you'll be able to click her picture and go directly to her website, click the book to order your copy from, I think, Amazon, and we also have a link up to her MySpace page. And you can go to myspace.com, do dead people watch, All one word. So you can check that out. And we're talking to her about her book and about some of the questions that people come through. Now, you said, Conchetta, that they always ask, do they see us in the bedroom? Do they see us in the bathroom? What are some of the other more popular questions that people always want to know?
Oh, really, to be honest, some of the other ones that are most popular are having to do with, do they know I'm sorry? Do they forgive me? I mean, people just get so wrapped up in their guilt and worry. I mean, that's, I think, part of, do they see us in the bathroom? Do they see us in the bedroom? I mean, they're just so worried about this guilt thing.
Well, it's this whole human,
exactly.
Thing, right, and that's what my grandfather was trying to convey to me when he had passed over. He said, no, it's not the same kind of love. You know, it's not this. So it is that kind of vibration. It's just that we're still so worried about the stuff we'd worry about here on the planet. So there is total forgiveness once we've crossed over?
Well, you know, again, you know, you're talking about you and I. I mean, we'd have average sins. I mean, I've done stuff that I'm not proud of, and I've done
if I hurt you in this lifetime, when you cross over, is there just this forgiveness? You're not holding any ill will towards me or malice?
Right. Yeah, okay. Like if I said, like my mother-in-law, I mean, it's a well-known fact, I wrote about it, we're not crazy about each other.
Right.
I mean, am I going to have to peel potatoes on the other side? I wrote that. No, I don't think I am. I did the best I could. It just didn't work out. Sadly, you know, that doesn't mean that I feel good about it. I don't feel good about it. And I wish it could have been better for many reasons. But that is, on the other side, I think there's going to be something that happens that will make us understand that we could have tried a little harder. And, you know, I'm sorry to say. But here's the bottom line. I think all of us have average sins and things we wish we didn't do or could have done better.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at it this way. As long as I didn't kill anybody, chop them up, and keep them in my freezer, you know, I'm okay. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you don't limit yourself too much, do you?
Yeah, I think that's a good day. But, you know, I have other things that I wish, of course, I could have done better. But as long as that's not a line I don't cross. I mean, you know, I would never hurt another human being, ever. I would never, ever physically hurt a human being. Yes, I've said things I said to a human being I shouldn't have said, and maybe I've called somebody a name I'm not proud of, but did I physically ever hurt another human being? No, big no. God's life created by God, that's something you don't do.
When you're speaking to people, are you speaking to their angel guides, to their spirit guides, to their dead relatives?
To their dead relatives.
Okay. So the angel guides and spirit guides, do they ever come forward and say, hey, Conchetta, can you let them know to go get a doctor checkup? There's a spot on their lung? Or does that come through the family members?
I was just going to say, keep in mind, their family minds are their spirit guides.
Okay.
Their family members are their guardian angels. So when I say their loved ones, that is who it is. That's the one and the same.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, do you feel a sense, if you're just out and about at dinner and you're with your husband and somebody, you know, somebody's got a spirit hanging on them that's really got something weighing, do you feel the responsibility to go up and say, hey, you know?
I try not to, Dave. It happens all the time.
Sure.
My husband, you know, it's taken him a long time. We've been married 25 years. It's taken him a long time to get comfortable. He is very comfortable, by the way, now with this. But here's what you have to keep in mind, that some people are not wanting this information. So I have to really, if somebody wants information from me, I'm happy to give it. But I'll give you an example. I mean, it happens so often. We were in Italy one time, and we were on a tour, so we were at the same like 150 people for, like, I guess, you know, 10 days. And every morning at breakfast, you know, we would all be in this big hall and we'd all go out during the day and do different tours. And I didn't know the people. I just went with my husband. And the same couple kept being, for some reason, every time if we went to Lucca, they were there. If we went to Florence, they were there. And it just kept showing up, very odd, the same couple, because we didn't know each other, but they kept being put in the same place. And finally, I kept hearing the other side. It was their son. They had a son who had died. And he kept saying to me, please, please tell my father I'm here. I want you to tell him something. And I couldn't do it because I didn't know them. They didn't know me. They weren't looking for my information. And I felt so bad for the son because he kept telling me to please go talk to them. And finally, at the end of our trip, someone recognized me. And by the end of the trip, I was recognized, so that people were coming up to me and saying, aren't you Conchetta Bertoldi? And I was like, yes, I am. And finally, this couple came up to me on the night before we were going to leave to go back home. And they said, you know, we didn't want to bother you, but we heard who you are, and we just have a question to ask you. And then I said to them, oh, my God, I can't believe, I'm so glad you came to ask me a question, because I already know what you want, because your son's been with me for the past 10 days, and didn't you realize we've been seeing each other in all these different places, and that's not a coincidence. He kept putting you everywhere we were. You know, so I ended up telling them what their son had to say, and they were so happy, and it was so wonderful, and they wrote me a beautiful letter, and it was just wonderful. But the point is, that happens all the time. But I would not just walk up to somebody at random and ever do that, because not everybody appreciates or wants, and I respect that. I respect other people's wishes.
Do you watch shows like Medium or Ghost Whisperer?
Well, you have to keep in mind that my friend, James Van Prague, he and I are very good friends, and he's one of the producers of the show.
Right.
And, you know, obviously, I love anything that Hollywood does that makes a positive out of this. I mean, you know, it's long-awaited in,
well, that's
in my
what
mind.
I was curious about is, on shows like that, how much of what they experience, I would guess from what you were just explaining, Melinda has to deal with that on a weekly basis on the show, where she's got to talk to people who probably don't want to know what she's going to try to tell them.
Right.
So that's got to be a hard situation. So I see how you're, you know, saying, well, I'm not here to talk to these people. I'm not here to do this right now.
Mm-hmm. I'll be honest with you, and I hope you'll forgive me. I don't really watch, because I when I watch those shows,
you live
like,
it.
I live it. So right. For me, it's not, you know, yeah, I get it. But I'm only happy that they're making it in a positive sense, and that people are opening their minds to this and accepting this, because it makes me feel very good. And I also am very grateful that Hollywood, of course, you also said, how much of it is real? I want to answer that. Keep in mind that Hollywood puts their twist to it. That's why they call it Hollywood. So
right.
It's got a lot of Hollywood wrapped in it. But the bottom line is, there's truth in it. And that's the fact. There is truth in this. And I love that Hollywood is coming around and making it more understandable and more acceptable.
Could you tell us, one thing that we're always curious about, do we have a spirit that hangs out at the station here?
Huh. You know what, I wouldn't be able to tell you right now, like just like that, because I'm not there.
Okay.
But if you want to know who is at your station, it's your relatives. You have family members who love you, and your family is there. And Tim's family is there. So, yes, you have family relatives that are always around you, and they would be there. But is there a dead soul that's, like, connected to your studio? It's very possible, because you do work on this subject matter, and it's very possible that they're around you because they're appreciating that you are trying to, you know, let them be heard. But who it is, I wouldn't make it up and tell you that I know who it is, because that wouldn't be fair unless I was there to feel it myself.
Okay, well, yeah, I didn't know if they, you know, are trying to harp on you. We've had a couple of the mediums where the spirit in the studio is harping on them the whole time they're talking to us.
Oh,
you know, trying to pass something on. That's why I was just curious if you picked up anything that way as well.
Actually, to be honest with you, Dave, I have to be in a subconscious state. It's
sure.
Not like I'm not like Verizon, so I just can't turn it on and off.
Well, that's good, because then your minutes are probably a lot easier to deal with, too. Right?
Exactly, right. But, you know, that's the way it is, and I'm really concentrating on my conversation with you to give you the right answers. But when I look for somebody who wants to communicate, I lower my consciousness to a subconscious state, and that's where it's a lot easier for me to hear what they have to say. So I haven't really been looking for it, because I'm trying to be more focused on what we're talking about.
All right, fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
How can you help people? We've only got a couple minutes left on the show. How can you help people that are, you know, the field of paranormal investigating is huge right now.
Right.
There's tons of people that feel that they're sensitive and they're trying to communicate and understand what their abilities are. What kind of advice can you give people on how to protect themselves psychically from any type of attack or an attachment?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good question again, Dave. I'm telling you, you're great. You've done your homework. Let me just say that that's a great question, and I'm loving to answer it, because realize, dear, that we are a piece of God. Ask
mm-hmm.
God. It's so simple that people walk right by it. Ask God to protect you. God, let me be protected by the light of God. It doesn't matter what religion you are. If you believe in God, just protect me, Lord, and protect me, God, with the light of God. And you are so protected. You've got the big guns in town. You know what I mean? And that's how simple it is. And you want to hear more from the other side? Tell them, please come in the light of God. Speak to me in the light of God. Protect me. Show me, or you know, realize that you're asking with God's help and protection. And it's so simple, but that's it.
Do the spirits reveal, you know, I know we have a goofy deal up here in Minnesota. There's one of the stations, they have this schlocky psychic that comes on, and they play this game, how are you going to die, or when are you going to die? And the psychic will tell them that. I mean, does that information get relayed to you as well? And we're not going to ask you on that, but I'm curious. Does that come when you meet somebody?
Anyway, honestly,
right.
That's a pretty crummy thing to get involved
with. Oh, I totally agree. But I'm just wondering, when you meet somebody, do you know, you walk up to Tim and you see something or you get the signal?
Yes.
Do you know, oh, geez, this guy's got 2 weeks and a ham sandwich.
You, Yes, well, I can't do that with everybody. Please understand that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't want to. But let me just tell you that I have met people when I've done a reading for them and heard, you know, that they were ill and that their time was limited, and I have heard that. Whether or not I tell that to a client, no, I wouldn't do that. If a client asks me and says to me, especially if they know I know about their illness, and they say to me, do you think I have a long time? You know, remember one thing, it's how you talk to somebody. It's how you tell somebody something. Mm-hmm. I would never be blatantly cruel to anyone and say, listen, if I were you, I'd go home now and give away all your, you know, favorite objects. You know what I mean? Right. I mean, that's just not something that's cruel, and I would never be able to do that to anyone. So that is something, obviously, I have heard. Answer to your question. What I tell somebody, it's how I would deliver a message, is individual again and unique. But I remember always, I would never be cruel. I would never hurt anybody.
Would you give advice like, Tim, have you been having headaches lately? You might want to go get that checked with the doctor. Is that more the way you do it?
Yes, I would do that.
Instead of saying, oh, honey, you're going to have an aneurysm and be gone in a week. Yeah.
Oh, God. No, but if they told me, you know, like as a matter of fact, they have. They've actually told me where somebody says, they're telling me they're having headaches. They're really, really worried about this. Put their mind at ease. They need new glasses. Where I've heard that.
Okay.
And I've said that to somebody. Say, listen, you know, they tell me you're having headaches. Yes, I have. I've been having really bad headaches. And they're telling me you're really worried about it. Yes, I'm really worried about it. Well, listen, I'm understanding from what they're showing me, you haven't had new glasses. And apparently one side of your eyeglass prescription only has got a new need. So only one lens has like a different from the other lens, and they're telling me if you have it corrected, you'll be fine. I mean, I've had that happen.
Great.
So yes.
What when the celebrities and heads of state and royal family come to you, are they just like every other Joe? They just want to know what's going on, or do they look for advice on, well, how do I handle this war? Should we keep going? Or I mean, do they come to you for the big questions, or do they just want to know if Grandpa Joe has the security deposit key hidden somewhere?
Well, keep in mind, they're human beings just like you and I, and they have the same needs and desires, and they have the same loved ones that they've loved and lost. So, yes, in that sense. Are they the same as us? Some of them are, but that's only because some of them are a little bit more full of themselves. So, you know, I mean, it depends, you know. But, again, there's people who just are humble, and there are just other people who just expect and have certain things entitled that they think they're entitled to.
But do they come to you seeking counsel on, you know, I know Reagan was very well known for seeking counsel before they did certain things. Is that what they come to you? Is this a good role I should take? Is this a good?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I would say that they are all different variety of questions, and they're just looking to see what the other side has to offer in terms of an answer. Ultimately, again, I think people make their own choice and their own decisions.
Sure.
So, you know, that is something that I always would, you know, encourage somebody, you know, to not, don't go by what I have to say. Listen to what I have to say. You judge for yourself. But
makes sense, right?
Right, exactly, right. Okay. I would never tell anybody what to do.
Well, Conchetta, our time is up here. I want to thank you. You were a pleasure to have on the show, and hopefully we can have you again here in the future.
Well, thank you, and I'd love to come back.
Great. Just let us know when you have some new books out or something going on that you want to talk about, or if you get the gumption to just share some new stories, just feel free to give us a buzz, and we'll put you on.
Thanks, Dave. You're a pleasure and a real gentleman. I really, really have to thank you for your intelligent conversation. It was a pleasure for me to be involved with you.
Thank you very much, Conchetta. You have a great time, and we'll talk to you again soon. And we want to thank all of you for tuning into the show. Stay tuned. We're going to be back after the top of the hour with our next guest.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, There are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 million protection package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.